Blog Talk Radio. It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Thursday, March 7th, and Craig and I are putting the show together with a little bit of earwax and chewing gum today, right?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
One of those days, I was out and about. I had to take my mom out to do her taxes. So we were out and about. Had to stop at a local Panera, so I had some good Wi-Fi. And Craig has got all sorts of emergencies happening there, so it's going a little crazy. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm actually doing okay.
Well, good.
Considering.
That's good. Considering.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about, and we have, unfortunately, some more passing to talk with Katie in a little bit. But it seems to be a part of life more and more.
Yeah, well, the more people that are on the planet, you know, the more people are going to die. So, yeah, and just a lot of death lately. And especially with artists, it seems that we are more sensitive and things tend to hit us a little harder than, you know, everyone else. So, I mean, everybody's got their problems, but it seems that, you know, we seem to take on all of these things and take them to heart and really feel for these individuals. And it's just been tough. A lot of death lately.
Yep, I agree 100%. I mean, it is what it is. And as, like you said, as actors who are more sensitive to things and feel things more, it's going to go through a lot of feelings are going to happen. It's going to make life interesting, but also have a little more ups and downs than normal. How's everything else in Chicago today going, though?
Still cold. And yeah, everybody, dude, I'm going to try to warn you again. We got another storm coming through. So the people in the Mississippi Valley southeast, they're going to get pummeled again. And then also the Midwest and the upper areas as well, all of the upper, north states, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, they're all going to get pummeled with a bunch of snow again, mixed with rain and thunderstorms. So, we're just going to get another nasty storm this weekend. And part of it's actually starting today, at least here in Chicago, we're getting snow flurries. We already have snow flurries. So we're already getting snow and we're supposed to get rain. So it's going to be a wicked storm.
Yeah, we have one of those things where it's supposed to get up to 60 degrees by Sunday and fall back into 30 degrees by Monday. But we're supposed to have some rain, a little bit of snow the next couple of days here. It's just wacky, wacky weather.
Yeah, no, it's just going to get worse as we go along here. And we have to prepare for it. So that's why I'm telling people days ahead of time, you know, get prepared to just get annihilated.
Yeah, not fun at all. I'm over it. I'm going to be in Palm Springs in 3 months. It'll be 102 degrees, and I'll be a happy camper.
Nice.
Well, how far away is Kate? Do you want to start with these news, or do you want to go on to something else first?
I don't know where she's at, because she was just on the phone. Yeah, no, let's talk about something, and then she'll come downstairs and talk on the mic at some point. Oh, wait. Oh, Katie's right here, actually.
All right. Well, introduce your lovely fiance there.
It's Katie Barberi, actress.
There you go, baby. Extraordinaire.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? I'm fantastic.
I'm good.
Good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you always, whenever there's the opportunity to do that. We're not sure what's going on with all these losses in Hollywood. It's very sad. It's sad to hear that Alex Trebek was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He is a tough guy and a pro and a wonderful human being. And I believe, a national treasure. And I know that we're all sending him good thoughts. And we believe that, you know, like he says, if we all send positive energy, he can beat this. And he says he's got a 3-year contract with Jeopardy and he needs to finish his contract. So he needs our help. So we're sending him positive thoughts also. I started acting when I was very, very young. And one of the first things that I did was a wonderful play by Lillian Hellman, in Los Angeles, at a theater there. And it was called Lillian Hellman's Watch on the Rhine. And when I did this play, I worked with two young, extraordinary actors by the name of Bobby Jacoby. He's now known more as Robert Jane. And he comes from this just huge acting family of Scott Jacoby and Billy Jacoby and Laura Jacoby and Bobby. And at one point, they were all on series and doing movies and just extraordinary. And their mother, Dolores, is apparently, I just got a message on Facebook, battling some severe medical issues. And so he's asking that we send out love to his family and to Dolores. Dolores, as I was growing up in the industry, was like a second mother to me. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about stage moms. A lot of bad things have been said about stage moms. But, you know, keeping your kids safe in this industry, keeping your kids protected, it's not an easy thing to do. Laura was diagnosed with cancer very young and is a survivor. She is with us today and has a gorgeous daughter. And that is the product in many ways of this extraordinary woman, Dolores. You know, you've got to be tough and you've got to be aware and have a very strange and wonderful mix of being friendly, but not too friendly, of knowing how to handle public relations in the industry when you have a child in the industry. My mom went through this as well, of course.
Right.
And many child actors, parents go through this. You have to have extraordinary ability to have public relations abilities and look like you're not getting too involved so that the producers and directors and casting directors and writers feel that they have control over the child's performance, but at the same time be very watchful of what's going on in that child's life.
Sure. Not protect your kid, right.
And in that career, exactly. And Dolores Jacoby is a prime example of someone who did that. Just gloriously. She was responsible for getting me my first agent when I was in Los Angeles as a child actress and being a second mother to me. I stayed over at their house many, many times. I have wonderful memories of Dee, and we just send out our love and our positive energy and our warm thoughts to the whole family that maybe, you know, things will get better. And if that's not what's meant to be, that she know how much she is loved and how much she has always been respected in this industry. And then in a crazy life turn of events, Adam Carl was the other young man that played my brother. They played the same character. I think Adam started out as Bobby's understudy, but eventually they started sort of swapping the role because they were very young. I mean, they were 10 or 11.
Okay.
When they played that part. Anyway, Adam's mother, Lois Carl, was a set teacher. She worked with Haley Joel Osment on several of his key projects. She worked with Jay Ferguson. She loved working with Haley Joel Osment on Spielberg projects because they would talk about politics all the time. She was a staunch liberal. Anyway, she passed away yesterday. And she was a very important set teacher and an extraordinary lady, just the same as Dolores, two mama bears in the industry, two wonderful Jewish mothers who had their children's backs in a way that made it so that these children became fine young men and women and able to sustain this very, very difficult industry without too many bumps in the road. And so we sent Adam all of our love. And, you know, they're gone. But they're wonderful examples. You know, you only hear about the bad stuff with child actors and child actors' parents and parents who are just out for the money and they're willing to, you know, do anything in order to make that happen. You know, these are examples of two ladies who really watch their kids and can be proud of that. And it's admirable. So I just wanted to send love to all the Jacobies, whom I miss, whom I see, hope to see someday soon, and to Adam, who lost his mom definitively yesterday. And we love you. You know, these people play roles that, you know, that we watch throughout our whole lives. We may not know exactly who that person is at any given moment, you know, depending on what part they're playing or what, you know, what role they're doing in what show. We may not know exactly who they are, but we see them all the time. And it's a hard business. And these are two examples of extraordinary mothers who contributed something very positive to the industry, and they should be very proud.
And yeah, I want to talk about yourself for a second too, because like you said, you played, Lucy said you played their mom, but you also, any which way you can, or any which way, you were also
every which way.
All these.
Every way. Okay. So I didn't play Bobby and Adam's mom. I was their sister.
Oh, like I was hoping so. Okay. Well, you said that.
Right.
I thought I was going,
and then Adam.
Here.
I did the Bronx Zoo with Adam a little bit later. I think we were 15 or 16 when we did that. We did that series with Ed Asner and Kathleen Beller and several extraordinary actors over at Paramount. And I played a girl that, you know, I was a teenager. The Bronx Zoo was actually a high school. That was the premise of the story. And Adam was cast in one episode, but of course he's such an extraordinary young actor that they ended up writing him. And then they brought in my character, Maria DeLucci, who had slept with most of the student body and was trying to sleep with most of the teaching staff as well. And so I had a great role on there with Adam, and it was like comic relief. And then they had my character also come on to Jerry Levine's character, who was a teacher, and see how he would deal with that and deal with a young woman coming on to him like that. So that was a great part and a great job that I had with Adam. But we started, all three of us, on this play on Watch on the Ride, and we played the children. We played the children in the show. So, but on Every Which Way, I played Maddie's mom, and I was very much a den mother on that set with these young actors that were on Every Which Way with me.
I bet. And how is, yeah. I mean, like I said, you watch all these people grow up and you see their careers. It's just got to be, because this business ebbs and flows with so many people. It's just got to be an amazing journey to watch everyone else while you're doing your own thing, I'd imagine.
Well, I mean, it's extraordinary because for me, and I've talked about this with Craig, you know, and I'm sure Adam and Bobby and anybody that, you know, might hear this could agree, you know, we all thought we were so grown up. When we were on these sets and we were child actors and what have you, we all thought we were, you know, we understood everything and we just were ready for the world and ready for any set of experiences. And now, you know, when I was working on Every Which Way with these kids and they've all stayed in our lives, thank God. And they all want to be so grown up. And I didn't realize, you know, when I see them, I'm like, you're babies. You're just experiencing life. You're just learning, and you have so much to learn, and you have so much to grow with. And you have to, I mean, they're extraordinary people, all of them. They're wonderful, amazing kids, but they're kids, you know? And to me, it's amazing and they all thought they were very grown up on the set as well. They all thought they were total grown ups. And no, even though, you know, I think maybe, you know, now in the 2000s, kids are more sophisticated because of the internet and whatever than maybe we were in the 80s and 90s. But still, kids are kids, you know, and it as I look back, you know, as I watched them on the set, I thought, wow, they all think they're so grown up. And I thought I was so grown up, you know, and a couple of them, you know, a lot of them on that set could just kick your butt in on stage. I mean, they were extraordinary performers and more on their game sometimes than, than, you know, than the adult actors were, and just admirable. But that doesn't mean that they have the life experiences yet to, you know, to confront a lot of the things that happen to youth in general, you know, not just kids. All of that is hugely blown up. You know, it's like, oh, the drugs in Hollywood and oh, this and how they're available anywhere. And
exactly.
In high school across the United States, kids are experimenting. They're experimenting with whatever it is that they're experimenting with. For my reasons, I've never tried it, but I'm pro the legalization of marijuana, but not for children, you know, under any circumstances. But they're experimenting with not just that. They're experimenting with opioids. They're experimenting with all kinds of things. And it's not just happening in Hollywood. It happens all over the United States. So all that stuff is really blown up, you know, about what they're exposed to there that they would not be exposed to anywhere else. That's not true.
Very true.
You know, there is a lot going on, you know, in Hollywood, and a lot of reasons why the mothers like Lois and Dolores are two extraordinary human beings. You know, you got to watch your kids and make sure that they're protected, and make sure that they're protected within the industry with contracts and everything else. It's a full-time job. And, you know, I admire really good stage mothers, and I don't look at it as an insult. On the contrary, it's a job, and there are many that do it very, very well, and it's admirable.
Well, I appreciate you come on and honoring them and honoring your friends. Thank you so much, Kay. I really appreciate it.
Love you, sir. Thank you so much. Take care of yourself.
Love you too. Before you go, though, you only have 2 weekends left of the Abuelas. Talk about before you head out.
Yes, I'm getting ready now to go over to the theater. This has been such an extraordinary experience, and I'm so proud of everybody involved and so honored to be involved with this project. The Abuelas is a play. It's a companion piece to The Madres, both written by the extraordinary Stephanie Allison Walker, and we are on stage right now, Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. at Victory Gardens Theater, and then Sunday at 2:30 p.m. And this is produced by Teatro Vista with some of the most talented Latino actors I have ever worked with in my life, and I've worked with a lot of them. And this play takes place present day, 2016, and deals with, I'll put it this way, it deals with the effects of what is commonly known as the dirty war that took place in Argentina in the 70s and 80s. And The Madres, which was the first play that Stephanie produced on this topic, took place in the 1970s in Argentina when it was happening. And it's all about the discovery of oneself and overcoming the atrocities of war. And it's also about strong women who face extraordinary circumstances and have to try to find themselves within that. And it's gotten fantastic reviews, thank God. And I'm just very, very proud to be a part of it. And the tickets are scarce at this point, but there are still some available, and I highly recommend it. I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. If I wasn't in it, I would recommend it anyway. It's extraordinary work. So come out and see us. There's a couple tickets left, and we've got a couple more weekends, and so I'm just going to enjoy that experience with my coworkers. And, you know, this business is it's about beginnings and endings, you know, projects. You work project to project, and you build up families, and you make new friends, and hopefully, you know, you retain them. And I'm very, very grateful for the amount of friends that I've been able to retain in this business. It's been a blessing, and I think a testament to all of us that we've been able to stay in contact. And a lot of bad things are said about Facebook. This is one of the positive things about Facebook, you know, is that you get information about people that you love, but for whatever reason are not able to be in contact with directly on a daily basis, mostly because of distance and geography. You're able to see them through social media and see what they're doing and how they're doing, and also, you know, share joy and grief like has happened with me the past 24 hours. So you know, there's positive things about Facebook. Anyway, I will give you back to your co-host and talk to you soon, sir.
No, that's fine. You can keep going.
All right, Ms. Katie Barbary, thank you so much for being part of Standing on My Soapbox. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, my dear. Take care. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Katie Barbary, if you've not checked out her resume and body of work, you need to check this out. She's her Nickelodeon show. she, like I said, Craig and I have talked about before, she has the comedic timing of all the greats, Lucille Ball to Deborah Messing. And you need to check out her project.
Carol Burnett, Gilda Radner. She's really, really, really funny. She's a combination of all those people.
There you go. Well, my friend, what's next on our agenda today? Where do you want to head towards?
I really want to know how the GOP got from Ronald Reagan, who I would say was probably one of our greatest presidents. And once again, I'm not Republican and I'm not Democrat. Just from the things that he did, I'm not so much Nancy, but Ronald, and as far as international,
sure.
And I want to know how we got from tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev, to build the wall. It seems to me that it's extremely hypocritical to have an entire party of peoples at one point wanting a wall torn down because it was a wall that was built during World War II or like right when World War II was ending, and then it stayed up because of the Russians. He was talking to Russia. He wasn't talking to Germany about tearing down the Berlin Wall. So
right.
I'm really wondering how you all you people out there that scream build the wall, how you got from tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev, to build the wall. So if you'd like to call in, any of you, 347-989-0126. I'd love to discuss this with you.
347-989-0126. Exactly. Even Lindsey Graham, John McCain's got me rolling over his grave. Lindsey Graham tweeted out last night how it is a national emergency down at we're in day 21 of our national.
The only national emergency is that we have people from Central America, not Mexico, Central America, that were deported back to their, and I started discussing this yesterday or the day before or whatever. I think I've discussed it every single day. We have people from Central America that were currently deported and for just coming here for amnesty, for safety, because their country sucks and they want to go to a better country. Well, this one's not accepting them. So how much better is this place right now? Not very, from what I can tell. And because of the attitudes of certain people, and they're coming here to in another caravan, no less, to get their kids back that were freaking stolen at the border by our government. What is going on? Seriously, that's the national emergency that we have, that we have people from other countries are coming to get their stolen kids back currently.
Nope, I agree. I mean, I don't understand the hypocrisy in it. And both sides have hypocrisy all the time.
It's so hypocritical, and it's so friggin' rude. Who are you people? I can't wait for you people to get out of control so that we can actually move forward. And that seems to be coming up. Cohen's releasing all this stuff, dude. He's like, president's a thug. Here's all the information. It, you know, all the stuff that happened beforehand, we're not supposed to care about, right? Any illegal activities that a candidate has beforehand, we're not really supposed to care about. We're supposed to kind of ignore those. But if they're happening during a presidency, no, it's over. It's over. If you're corrupt, you're corrupt. You're out. That's the rule.
There you go. I mean,
I didn't write these rules. I didn't write these rules. Some dudes wrote these rules, you know, 200 years ago. I didn't write these rules.
No,
nope, let's apply the rules.
Right. And we got Manafort today working against the government with other governments. He's going to get sentenced in just a little bit here. That's going to be an interesting show to see how far that goes. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, I needed something to drink.
That's okay. Yeah, it's
needed some
Coca-Cola going on. We got Cohen stuff going on. We have all this stuff going on, and yet the guy has a 89% to 90% approval rating with his base, which I just don't understand where that comes from.
What, an 89% approval rating? Well, with his base, the base is only 30%, and the only the base is only 30% of the country. It's a very, very, very small percentage. So if your base is only 89%, wait, that means he's at like 24% of the country. He's just dropped a huge amount as far as people that support him. That means that it's 64% of the country or 65% of the country that wants him out. And that's an overwhelming majority. And that's what democracy actually is. It's majority rules. It's not actually about the individual. It's about the majority rules. And if the majority says, wow, we think you're corrupt, you're out. You're out.
I think I saw a story the other day where 11 states now have signed on to the electoral, they're calling it the Electoral College Compromise, where they are going to give all of their delegates votes to whoever wins the popular vote.
The popular
as opposed
vote.
To
yeah, that
college.
Actually would be the best way to make sure that they don't cheat again with the Electoral College.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure
time,
that's exactly where the cheating
time.
Went on.
Right. Happened with Gore, happened with Clinton, and for the third time, we can't let it happen again.
Yeah, we'd be living in different worlds, you know, if Gore were to have become president. We'd be living in a different place. So I've always been a fan of him, and even, you know, them making fun of him on South Park with Man Bear Pig. I thought all that shit was hysterical. And I'm pretty sure he thought all that shit was hysterical. Because it's really the only way to show people that there is something happening, you know, that there's obviously something happening. And then they actually found Man Bear Pig on South Park. So, you know, it's to prove that this is going on, that these things are going on, which I thought was absolutely hysterical. I thought it was really funny. We'd be living in a different place because the billionaires that a guy like Gore is dealing with are they've all got some shit, some agenda. They've all got some shit going on, but different billionaires are playing a different game. They're like some of them were actually instructed by the people that gave them billions of dollars to protect democracy, to make sure that something like democracy doesn't fail in the world, that it's important. So there's a number, as well as capitalism, but within that, you have to protect all of the people.
Sure.
So,
exactly.
So there's some billionaires out there that is what they do, even though they're still dealing with all the douchebaggery and they still kind of can be douchebags. You know, like, you know, I love Richard Branson, but I feel like, you know, cause I wrote Altered State of the Union, he's a part of those billionaires, and it's only billionaires that are going to go to space right now, which is just solidifying my idea and verifying it in Altered State of the Union, which is that they're just going to get the hell off this planet after destroying it. So I'm like, you know, I'm looking at it, and because you and I can't afford one of those seats on that spaceship, and it's going to be a while before we can. Yeah, I mean, they got to build, you know, 1,000 ships in order for you and I to be able to get on one. So in order for the price to drop down to, you know, something that we can at least do. You know, the same cost of like going on a cruise, that type of stuff, where, you know, a normal person can actually, you know, afford to do that, a normal family. So it would be it's got to be the equivalent of that before you and I can get up there. So, you know, for the next, I don't know how long, 10 years, it's only going to be rich people going to space and just leaving us down here to deal with, oh, I don't know, plastics. Why don't you do that for Lent? Catholics, please. Give up the use of plastics. Why don't you do that? I think because the numbers have gone down on Catholicism. So I think if 1.6 billion people, because I think that's where they're at right now. They used to be at like 4 billion people. They used to be almost half of the world believed in Catholicism, but they've dropped out, fallen out hard because people don't believe your bullshit here. I'm sorry, right. I'm quoting Robin Williams from Reality, What a Concept, when he was imitating Truman Capote Jr. So, yeah, nobody believes your bullshit. So, you know, it's putting out to like 1.6 billion people. But if you 1.6 billion people for 40 frickin' days stop using plastic, we might get a chance here. We might have a chance to clean some of this up.
Well, it was funny, too. I was watching the news shows last night, as I'm wont to do, and I can't believe how many senators, congressmen, people, reporters, everything have their ashes on their forehead, but all they talk about is Trump and nothing like environmental issues, something about children issues, anything that's important. That's not on the news, but they're wearing their ashes proud. I've never seen so many ashes than I saw last night. I was honestly shocked how many was going on.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Separation of church and state, boys and girls. That's how this works. It's not supposed to be there for a reason, because our founding fathers thought you were nuts. That's why. It's not supposed to be there.
Right. Well, like I said, I don't have a problem with them wearing pins, wearing ashes. I'm just surprised.
No, I do.
When you're going to,
I absolutely do.
Don't talk about just stupid stuff on the president or stupid things that don't matter. Talk about things that actually matter. That's the main point.
I'm not sure they know what actually matters.
Well, that's true too.
I think they're blind to it. I know a lot of people that have after a person dies, that they've given the church hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know multiple people that have done this, and it's to buy their significant other's way to heaven. And I'm like, what? Why don't you try to figure out with that hundreds of thousands of dollars, why they died in the first place, and try to figure out a cure for whatever it is that they died of. And because sometimes it's simple, stupid shit like an automobile accident and a roadway that didn't fucking excuse my language, but wasn't built right. And you know, it's stuff like that where there are certain things you can do with hundreds of thousands of dollars to rebuild said roadway so no accidents can happen there again. Just, you know, stuff like that, you know, and just paying attention to, you know, what's going on in this world instead of trying to buy yourself or your significant other into a place that you don't know exists. You don't know. You don't know. I'm willing to say that, just like Bill Maher. He doesn't know. I don't know. So you don't know if it exists. Why? Because some idiot wrote it down 2,000 years ago? And it wasn't even 2,000 years ago. It was like 300 years after Christ supposedly was here. So,
exactly.
You know, it's all hearsay, the entire thing. And, you know, it's not even a good – they're not even good books. They're not even good stories. They're like, there's no imagination going on here. There's some magic. And I also – what's the deal with believing in ghosts? Because I don't believe in ghosts. So, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? I don't believe in ghosts. What, you guys believe in a ghost? Are you serious? As well as a dude with a robe and a beard that hangs out and listens to everybody and hears everybody's thoughts? That's got to be just absolutely nuts. What? I'm sorry.
But you can't believe in Harry Potter because that's sacrilegious.
You can't believe in Harry Potter. Yeah, no, I'm wearing my Slytherin socks right now. Currently wearing my Slytherin socks. I am Slytherin House. Yeah, I know. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's the same thing. You know, Harry Potter, it's a new religion. It's the same shit. It's like, you know, that's how these things get started. So, you know, and like I said, I'm representing. I've got my Slytherin socks on. I was wearing my Slytherin sweatshirt yesterday.
Good for you.
And yes,
I
am confessing to be Slytherin House. And anybody want to talk about that? Any of you Gryffindor want to call me? Let's go.
All right, with that, let's give him a chance to call in. Let's take a quick break. and play a little Call My Life. And when we come back, we'll finish up. We have about 20 minutes left. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. Standing on my soapbox. I'm going to get my little commercial to play here because we're doing this thing, as I said, on a shoestring budget, and I got to find my little music button. We've got this couple minutes, guys.
Dude, you sound like you're talking out of a tunnel.
Every day is a busy tone, can I hear it? Cause it's calling by your voice unknown. Gotta filter, it's all for show, you believe it, but you never really know, I know. And you're never gonna see every part of me, but I make you believe.
Welcome back to Standing on My Soapbox. We are live from the Panera in Northeast Ohio today because I had errands to run. Dang it. I'm out with my mother. And on the other side, we have Craig Hurley there. Craig, how are we doing?
Hold on,
okay?
Yeah.
Nothing but a thing. I'm having my Panera coffee and enjoying a little bit of life here. Hey, how have we got through 4 days without what Craig meant to say? That's what I want to know.
I haven't really said anything besides today, just by about 10 minutes ago, that I kind of have to retract. You know, I haven't, over the past couple of days, I feel like there's no hashtag what Craig meant to say. Sorry. I can repeat one if you want me to. But
they're my favorite segments. I love them.
I'm wondering if there is one that I haven't done yet. I think I've gone through them all already. We can figure it out. I don't know if we can throw one together real quick, but
that's okay. We just need to get you fired up on something. We haven't had you fired up enough, I guess. That seems hard to believe, but
well, I just got fired up on Catholicism. So, like I said, I'll probably have a hashtag what Craig meant to say yesterday. I mean tomorrow. So
there you go. I got to tell you, I'm going to do a public service announcement for all the listeners at home. If they happen to have a cable service for their phone, I don't know about you, but my mom has a home phone and I have my cell phone. And both of them, for some reason, the last 6 months have just gone crazy with robocallers. We're getting a jillion a day on my cell phone and her phone. So I found two great things I want to give a public service announcement out with. One, because she gets her home phone through our cable company, and a lot of people do that now because they can bundle it cheap. They have a service with Armstrong Cable Company for $250 a month. They will block out robocalls by making whoever calls you, it has a little recording that says, if you are not a telemarketer, please press 8 now. And unless they can do that, which most telemarketers can't because they're all robocall driven, they can't get through. We've had it for 2 days, and we have not had one robocall in 2 days. It's been amazing.
Wow, that's
and then
actually,
it's pretty crazy.
Cool.
I mean, because we were getting a lot of this.
Yeah,
you know,
I just usually press ignore.
A jillion of at home, and then on my cell phone, I found a really cool app. It's called Robo Killer, and that's
nice.
Another $2 a month. So you got to pay for these things, but I'm finding them worth it already. But Robo Killer, what Robo Killer does, if it detects a spam or a spoof call, because you know so many telemarketers are getting smart now when they're spoofing, which means they call from a local area code, so you think it's a local call coming in, even though it's from some telemarketing company a jillion miles away. So they spoof a local phone number. But there's this RoboKiller app you can get on your cell phone, both Android and iTunes, and it not only picks up on a spoof call or on a telemarketer call, it has some way to check that, but then it keeps them on the phone line. It gives a fake recording of things going on and keeps them on the phone for like 2 minutes where they can't get off of it. And I've been having fun. They let you listen to it, and it's been kind of fun to listen to.
Cool.
Those are my public service announcements for the day.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say to. I anybody who actually knows me knows that I don't usually answer the phone. Period. So, I usually just either let that go to voicemail or I ignore. I press ignore. It's much easier to contact me or, you know, any of my friends like on like, you know, Facebook, or if you actually have my number to text me, it's much easier to contact me that way. So usually if it's somebody who's calling me, I'm ignoring it because they're most likely a telemarketer because most people know not to call me. So, and I wouldn't pick up the phone. How desperate are you to talk to people if you have to answer those phone calls? Just ignore them. Just press ignore. And then delete your voicemails because it fills up your data.
Yeah, you need to do that. That's very important. You're right. I just can't believe how many they could do. It used to be when you were on that do not call list. And by the way, they've changed that. So you need to renew that every year. If you're wondering why you're getting calls.
Wow.
You didn't renew it January 1st. You now have to renew that every year. It used to be good for like 3 to 5 years. Not anymore. You have to renew it every January or they'll start letting people call you. And they're also able to, it used to be just nonprofits were allowed to get through. So you'd get a lot of calls from the Fireman's Fund and the Policeman's Fund and things like that and the local homeless shelter. But now they've brought it up to political people. They've relaxed the rules. They've lessened the rules so much for so many different companies that that's why telemarketing calls and robocalls are so high anymore. And it's just really not fair to the consumer that doesn't want to have them unless you pay this $250 a month or do something to block them. You're at the mercy of having your phone ring a jillion times a day. And like
it's
I said,
always
you can't
about
ignore
the money.
It, exactly. But it is annoying being at home and having to hear three rings six times a day when you don't want to answer.
Well, I also don't have my ringer on. I don't understand that either. You know, I mean, these are irritants as far as I'm concerned in my world. Things like ringers and notification beeps and whistles and what it's just irritants. So my ringer's down. And, you know, if you need to pay attention to your phone, then go and look at your phone. You know, I mean, it's like, why, you know, you have to have it. You have to be on it all the time. You got to be aware of, you know, who's calling you every single second. No, you don't.
I would think as an actor's life, though, you'd be more in tune with your phone and need to have it on you at all times.
Well, lately it seems that my email filled up so much. This is how lax I am, dude. I just deleted 3,500 emails yesterday. And I mean,
Oh my goodness. Yeah, exactly.
I have emails from like 2004. I haven't deleted anything. And then I don't know who told me this. But when you delete some of the older stuff, Drew, one of my agents at Great Talent, told me this, that if you have an old account, like I have a Gmail account, so yeah, I'm that old, and if you have an older account that it actually holds, well, yeah, but it actually holds on to that information. It doesn't ever delete it. So there could be 1,000 emails that I can't see and I can't get to that are still there. And, I'm actually just thinking about changing my email address so that I can, well, become current.
That's the easiest way. Put an initial in or put a period in or something. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, to change it. It's actually pretty easy to change it. But, we'll see coming up here. I we've just been deleting stuff that I don't need. But if it doesn't go away, then my emails are still going to be filled up. So that's
talk
how lax I am when it
second.
Comes.
How often
when
are you in touch
that.
With agents? I mean, people now are taking their own careers into their hands so much. And before, agents kind of did everything for you. You had to have an agent before you can get a job.
No, you're always
and then
you're
now
always
so much is going on individually produced. How do you go about working that balance of agent to doing your own submissions?
I never do my own submissions. That's a no-no unless you don't have an agent. And because like it's impossible, you can't submit if you don't have an agent to certain casting directors. You just can't.
Right.
But what you can do is if you don't have an agent, you can do a bunch of like student films and independent films, and you can submit yourself to the producers of those films. You have to be careful because you don't exactly know who these people are, and they're not SAG franchised. They're not working under any contract at all. So it could be, you know, softcore porn or porn that you're actually auditioning for and you don't even know it. So you have to be careful. And choose your projects wisely. Don't just be desperate to fill your resume or to get an agent. Do legitimate projects. Go up for different theater and go up for, you know, different legitimate projects. Get in on extra work. That's a good way to meet people. But I won't submit myself. What I'll do is I'll see things come across like Actors Access, the website. Casting Networks is another website that shows all different types of gigs that are out there for actors. And then I will turn to my agent if they haven't already gotten me on it, and I will, or you know, gotten me an audition time. Then I will say, you know, hey, this gig looks really good for me. Could we try to get it? And that's the extent of it. I don't even push them to go any further. I just tell them that it's out there and that I feel I fit, and that's it. Oh. So, yeah, because agents, especially mine, I'm really happy with my agent right now. Really, really, really happy.
Awesome.
Great talent. Yeah, they're really good. They get me out all the time, so I don't have to. I'm not concerned, you know, about having to submit myself. And that's really, like I said, it's looked down on. I mean, you can't, you know, as a producer, you know, you have people submitting shit to you that they're not right for, and you would never hire them. And it really puts a mark on them as someone to avoid. So you got to really go along the right channel. You know, you really have to when you're doing that. So I don't, and the right channels are, you know, if you're going to submit yourself on something, make sure it's an independent film or a student film, something like that. You don't want to submit yourself on the bigger stuff because they'll just not hire you. They'll just not invite you in for anything.
And then when they see your name, they're not going to have that same respect, I guess.
Yeah, you need to have people backing you in the first place that they respect, that they understand, that they've talked to before, that they've partied with before, that they've hung out with, they've had dinner with, all of the above. So they, you know, and then the producer will be like, yeah, I'll see them, you know, or not. Some people have reputations and the reputations follow them. So, you know, sometimes they're not going to see you. But that's after
you
get to a
certain point. Do you do much writing for television or movies, or do you just concern yourself right now with your regular books and graphic novels?
No, I've been writing some scripts. I've got a couple of them out there already. I've got literary agents that are already representing me, and like Daylight Sucks. Because right now it is a comic book, but it is also a project. It is also a what could be a TV project. So initially it was written as a telenovela. It's a bilingual. That's the way I wanted to write it. It's a bilingual project, and like the comic book starts out in Mexico. And we actually start, you know, we show that story, and it's all Spanish at that point, and with subtitles. So, with English subtitles, and then it becomes multilingual throughout the entire story, because we have vampire clans that are located all over the world, not just the Allenwick clan in Miami. So, it becomes multilingual. There's every language in the world is included. Included are ancient languages too, languages, Sanskrit, stuff that we don't speak now. So I'm concentrating on. I've got a whole bunch of ideas, and I've got people that are already working on those. As far as scripts are concerned.
Hi, we only have about 2 minutes left. We got to wrap up here.
What?
We have one last day tomorrow, guys. You got to tune in tomorrow. We'll be doing it from the home studio tomorrow and be a little less frenetic. But anything you want to end on today, my friend?
Only 2 minutes. Yeah, if you're not listening tomorrow, be careful. Be careful this weekend. It's just going to be nasty. We're going to get another storm. California already got hit, and Colorado's currently getting hit. And so are some of the upper states, Montana and Wyoming. But, this thing's creeping along. But by the time it builds up some speed, that'll be Saturday. Just watch out. We've got, you know, you're going to have some more tornadoes. We're going to have thunderstorms, a lot of flooding, and some snow.
There you go. You heard from the listening himself. That's our resident meteorologist, Mr. Craig Hurley there. I appreciate that, buddy. We're going to play out today.
I don't know everything about the weather, but I did study at Penn State, and Penn State is the number one meteorology school in, I would say, the world, even though the Europeans have a school that is the equivalent. So definitely in the United States. But I don't know everything about the weather, but I do know a lot. And I've been a weather freak since I was a kid.
I understand. You have kept us informed well, my friend. We're going to play out with a nod to our guest today, Katie Barbieri. We're going to play Wicked Game, both English and Spanish. It's a combination throughout the song. So
nice, dude.
It's a
nice
song. It's a really cool take on it. So,
yeah, thank you, Katie, for talking.
Guys, we will see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Give us a call, 347-989-4126, or click the social media for the direct link. And here's Brandon James with Wicked Game.
Peace.
Mismo con dudas en salto mal. Aparecen deseos y tú que me haces saltar. Nunca desde este sueño y apareces tú. Nunca desde un amor y apareces tú. No. Así que maldita está.